Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G. More towers and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Loud and Local continues on The Rock with Kevin Deers, 99.9 KISW.
It's 99.9 KISW and Loud and Local. I am so stoked to be talking with Jeff Suffering. He is a vocalist for several projects, but the one we're talking about right now, it's been called 90 Pound Wuss. Saturday, July 29th, 90 Pound Wuss is playing their first show in 23 freaking years down at the Tracyton Movie House in Bremerton. So across the water at the Redwood Theater, and they're going to be playing with the Fibs and the Middle Age Queers. Jeff, how you doing, man?
Doing good. Thanks for having me, Kevin.
Dude, it's my pleasure. It's 23 years, man. What came bubbling up to make you guys decide 2023 was the year?
It's an interesting story. My friend who used to live here, Jonathan Ford, he plays in a band called Unwed Sailor, but used to, when he lived here, was in a band called Roadside Monument.
Of course.
And
SRB. I
know this song. Exactly. Yeah. Sperm Ridden Burden. Yeah. One of the best hardcore emo post-punk, I don't know, indie rock songs, hybrid. Yep. Anyway, they Unwed Sailor was playing a show in October 2022.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He was really encouraging me to make music again. And then he just went, what about 90 Pound Wuss playing again? And then he got this idea and he's like, I'm going to text my friends at Furnace Fest because he knows all the guys that put it on in Birmingham, Alabama. And he said, I'm going to bug him and tell him to ask you about 90 Pound Wuss. What would you say? And I'm like, I don't know. I can ask some of the people and put together a band and see what happens. And so it turns out through that and some other coincidences, there was a funeral of a friend of ours in Port Angeles where we started and where we grew up. And two of the band members from the original lineup were at this funeral, ran into them, said, hey, Jonathan mentioned this thing. I don't know if it'll happen. Would you guys be interested? They both said, yeah, let's talk about it if it happens. A week later, I get a call from a guy named Johnny Grimes who is on the team for putting on Furnace Fest.
Yeah.
And we started talking and it worked out. And we were just like, okay, we get this trip. We get to play these shows. We haven't done it. None of us had played music for a while. And I felt like this would be interesting. And, you know, the second guitarist that we had in the band. So our original guitarist quit 1.5 records in, and we weren't finished writing it. So we got this guy, John Spaulding, who ended up being one of my best friends ever. And yeah, he died in 2008 of cancer. And he, I've always had that, like, John is kind of irreplaceable, very unique, different kind of guitar player. So this time around, 90 Pound Wuss, we have the original guitar player and we have a second guitar player, and we're able to do a lot of the stuff that John was doing.
Okay.
And we actually like sound a little bit tighter than we did as a live band.
Imagine that.
Not necessarily the records, only because we weren't very tight to begin with.
Yeah.
We were kind of like a spectacle band.
Yeah.
Like craziness. You'd never know when it was going to fall apart or like stick. And so it's in paying homage to Spaulding, we're trying to be more true to the way he wrote the songs on the records.
That's awesome.
It's basically Furnace Fest got us back together, and in preparation for it, we decided to play a few shows locally, and the Bremerton show at Tracyton Theater on July 29th
is the first one.
And our first one, I'm really nervous. And it's special. We're playing the longest we've ever played. We're playing an hour set. And we're showing, like, we have a video behind us that's like a bunch of images, some of actually Spalding, like, that are animated. And we're doing, you know, everybody who comes gets a poster. There's a lot of stuff happening. Nervous and excited. A lot.
And is it fitting that it's in Bremerton? I think that's kind of special, right?
It is special. Many reasons, because Bremerton's on the Olympic Peninsula.
Yep.
We grew up in Port Angeles, mm-hmm. and we became really tight with the guys in MXPX.
Of course.
And we toured a number of times with them, and we used to always play between Port Angeles, Port Townsend, Squim, and Bremerton and Silverdale area. We used to Port Orchard even. We used to always play with MXPX a lot. We were on the same label, did tours together, and so it's great that we're playing in Bremerton. It's the perfect place, in my opinion, between what our band later became, where mm-hmm. we were a pretty integral part in probably 97 to 99 in Seattle.
Yeah.
And, you know, we used to play with Blood Brothers and Botch and all of those bands. We're all friends and we used to hang out and Murder City Devils. So we were kind of in the same scenes, but, you know, we were always the band that was on Tooth and Nail, and so not...
You weren't on the cool label. You were on the Christian punk label.
Yeah, but we were, you know, eventually that's what led us to sort of breaking up was that we didn't like the fact that our faith, we felt like our faith was being used as a marketing ploy to sell records. And I don't think that's necessarily Tooth and Nail's fault as much as it was our perception of everything at the time. And we just didn't want that anymore. And John thought, Spalding, thought that we could sign to another label. And I was like, nobody's going to really sign us because we're too associated with Tooth and Nail. And so at that time, it was kind of like, we were kind of like, we were great with all of our friends that were in the local Seattle scene that we played with mm-hmm. and we had earned credibility with and our friends with and hung out with at parties and everything else. But when it came to like touring, it was a little awkward and strange at that time because there wasn't, you know, this was before Under Oath sort of like broke the paradigm where it didn't really matter if you were...
They were on Warped Tour. They were, you know, all over the place. And then bands like Haste the Day and, you know, tons of Christian metalcore bands and metal bands, Demon Hunter, you know, all these bands that are Christian or Christians in a band or whatever you want to say, but they didn't get that, you know, oh, they're a Christian band. We can't book them, you know, so...
Yeah, exactly.
They broke it, you know, they broke that whole boundary.
They totally did. They made it not a thing anymore. And what's interesting is like being involved in like a, you know, some religious stuff in a church for a while. You could see that change. Like now what's known as Christian music is just like the church songs made for worship, which is great. In my opinion, that's what we wanted in the first place. We had this like background of growing up with the faith. We all think differently now. Some of us are still Christians, others aren't in this band, but we definitely grew up with that. And so it was sort of like whatever you want to say, indoctrinated or just like whatever we believed at the time. And so, but we wanted to just play rock and roll music and express ourselves. Our first record was a little bit more like on the tip of singing about Jesus and church kind of stuff and Bible stuff because we literally were having a Bible study and then practicing. Like that's sort of how we even became to be 90 Pound Wuss. We were doing other things musically, all of us, and then we sort of started doing that. And after that was where we were like a more of a real band. And so we had these songs that we ended up recording. Looking back, if we would have had a plan, we might have done things differently, but it didn't matter. So a lot of the content on that record, you know, I've changed some of it with some of the songs that we're singing as I don't feel comfortable with all of it.
Yeah.
Now, but I like that it documented, the recordings at least documented a point in time where I was at and showed sort of a belief system and some other things that I really, you know, it really formed who I was and who I've become to be through those experiences and beliefs. And so now things are different, and so some of the lyrics are a little bit different, and I feel okay with that because I had to wrestle with it. You know,
sure.
there's two philosophies about that. Like, it's my song, change it, do whatever I want. Then it's also like, it stamps a point in time. For me, it's the recording ended up being the thing that stamps a point in time. And I feel very comfortable now with like changing those songs and making them what I want them to be today.
Yeah.
So, and they're not drastic changes. They're pretty subtly. Like, I'm still okay with the concept of God incarnate and, you know, showing the world that loves and cares about us or whatever. Not necessarily all the political and other connotations that have come around in the last number of years is really staunch. I disagree with most of those.
Yeah.
But the basic concept of a God becoming human is kind of cool and interesting. It's a beautiful fairy tale. Whether it's real or not, it's still a beautiful story in a lot of ways.
Over the three albums, you guys really evolved. Like, that last record is like post-hard. Like, you guys started as just like a in-your-face kind of skate punk, thrash, like hardcore band.
Yep.
The last album, you know, it's like some electronic elements, some post-hardcore. Like, you guys really evolved. And do you think if you would have kept going, what do you think the next album would have been like? Would it just have been like Joy Division?
Maybe. I mean, we did that definitely before, like, there was a Yeah Yeah Yeahs or an Interpol.
Sure.
And we were moving in that kind of direction. So I think we probably would have ended up sort of fitting in that thing that happened at that time that was a resurgence of sort of post-punk vibes. And,
totally.
So there's a for this Furnace Fest, there's a Furnace Fest exclusive vinyl release coming out for 90 Pound Lewis. No, it's not a reissue.
Okay.
It's like more of a best of. It's called NPW equals PNW.
Nice.
And so it shows like there's a lot of art, there's essays, there's a lot of stuff going on. It's a gatefold single LP.
That's cool.
Our songs were so short.
Yeah.
And so, but the first side shows that there was this element of like pop hooky sensibility on all three 90 Pound Wuss records.
Yeah.
And then the second side shows that there was this line of post-punk influenced experimental hardcore through all of the records as well. So there's songs from each of them on both sides. And the way that we mastered it and put it together, I think you can really see it's the one release that I wish, you know, it's vinyl exclusive. I don't know if it'll ever come out in that format on streaming services, which is too bad because it's a good introduction to us. There's I'm really excited for when I actually get
I gotta get my hand on that one of those, man. Yeah, that's awesome.
It's limited. There's only 500 copies.
All right.
So yeah, keep posted. We're gonna have a website and Tooth and Nail is gonna sell half of them. There's two variants.
Yeah.
One Tooth and Nail will sell, one we will sell. So it's kind of expensive because it's the gatefold.
Of course.
It's a special, like those who like 90 Pound Wuss will probably want it and buy it.
Oh, you'll sell them all. I know.
We'll see.
I've always heard this rumor that you got kicked off of a show or something for cutting your wrists or something. Is that true?
Oh, that's a hybrid of two different stories.
Okay. I heard that there was like some like, you know, some bad vibes with Tooth and Nail or something, like you got in trouble or like you guys were infamous for like doing crazy stuff live.
So
I don't know, that
stretches it to about three or four different stories.
Okay.
the most dangerous one was so this scar on my left arm,
I see it.
Right below my elbow.
Yeah.
I can go like this, and if I wiggle it, I can feel the nerves.
Jeez.
Down here. We were in Bellingham at the college.
Okay.
And it was a show with us and Roadside Monument.
Uh-huh.
And I think Roadside was actually playing after us. And so we wrecked the whole thing. But we used to do this thing. We had this found, like, reel-to-reel, like, small, probably half-inch or something tape machine that was broken. And so we'd find these reels. And the thing was warped. So it would play, like, slow and fast. So it would just...
Okay.
Weird, like people talking. We'd usually find sermons or like all sorts of weird stuff. I found this thing of all these like Buddhist chanting.
Okay.
And so it was doing this weird thing. And I had created this idea, let me see if I can remember. Anyways, it was this performance art idea and it involved me definitely like cutting myself.
Yeah.
And so I had you know, messed around and cut myself before, and it wasn't ever a problem. But there was too much adrenaline in this live performance, and I opened up my arm, and it opened up like a mouth and popped and started squirting blood all over the place. And so I'm holding my arm above my head, holding it like a tourniquet, and like everything just kind of dwindles down. There's blood that squirted all over people who were in front of us. We're playing on the floor, so there's blood everywhere. And I basically, the emergency technicians come in. They take me to the hospital. I was millimeters away from cutting my artery and dying and bleeding out right there in front of everybody. And it was horrific. So my partner, who I've been with since like high school, was there. She was horrified. Everybody was
horrified.
God damn
it, Jeff.
Yeah, it was like one of those idiot things you do. I've done lots of idiot things in my life. That one was pretty dumb. So that's the blood cutting myself, ending a show. It was declared a health hazard zone. Everybody had to go home, and they had to like clean it up profusely. I mean, there was like carpet, so whatever they had to do.
It's so metal.
Yeah, it was pretty metal, pretty punk too, like pretty crust, like whatever. But yeah, all of the extreme rock genres, that kind of
pulling a Gigi Allen up in Bellingham.
That's
dude.
Kind of our live persona. You know, I was never naked on stage and didn't throw my own shit, but sorry, I
it's all
didn't
good,
throw
dude.
My own crap like Gigi Allen, but definitely did do the whole bleed out on people thing, which is not cool either. So that happened. Some of the other stories are in Texas. So being on Tooth and Nail, there would be these weird shows that you'd play when you'd go on tour that would be like at a youth group or some like Christian thing. And they were really strange because they always had this expectation for us to like preach. And we're like, we're just a rock band, man.
Yeah.
Like we're not, we, if you hired us,
can
to
I have
come
a
out
cigarette?
Here, yeah. We're like your entertainment. Yeah. We're not your preachers. So, we'd show up and we were expected to preach on this particular show.
Sure.
And we literally got ran out of town. They thought that we were demonic because of the way that we performed. We were like, they tried to like pray demons out of us.
God.
It was nutballs. Like, so here's what's interesting is there's a lot of like metal bands and other things that get called this stuff. We actually physically got assaulted by Christians trying to pray demons out of us.
Okay.
And the stuff that you'd think that they would do to some of these more like overtly like antichrist, like anti-Christian type of bands. We were that band, and we were actually like at the time, like we were all like somewhat oriented around faith, some more than others.
Yeah.
So pretty interesting. But we were literally like, they didn't pay for our hotel room. They made us go. They didn't want us staying in the town. It was crazy. So that was stuff like that happened fairly regularly. Like we'd show up and there'd be weird stuff that just went down that made zero sense because we didn't fit into like the Christian music genre. And because we were affiliated with Tooth and Nail, most of the punks and indie rock and hardcore people at the time, they actually had to get to know us to understand that we were all right. Otherwise they were like, I don't know about this band on Tooth and Nail. You know, we played with Avail.
Uh-huh.
They were a pretty popular band.
Great band.
We opened up for them, and they, a lot of conversation, them asking us a lot of questions.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think by the end, like, they were okay with us, but it was and I think, you know, they had a rough time. Like, we're playing with this Christian band on Tooth and Nail. What's the deal? And so, in conversation, I think it was okay, but that was kind of the vibe back then before Under Oath sort of changed that vibe, like I was saying earlier. So
I remember hearing a story about the band Strong Arm went on tour with Shai Hulud, and Shai Hulud wasn't a Christian band, but Strong Arm was, and there was some, and Shai Hulud was the headliner, and they were kind of like the people that brought everyone out. And there was some, you know, venue that said, we're not going to let Strong Arm play. And Shai Hulud was like, screw that. We're not going to play if they can't play. You know, like they said, and they let Strong Arm play and stuff. But it's interesting looking back at that. There was like this, you know, kind of divide. But Tooth and Nail in the 90s was my shit, man. I remember I never got to go to the Tooth and Nail store. But I always wanted to go to those clearance sales with the Tooth and Nail. Where was Tooth and Nail located?
Like, oh, it was right down the street.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like Pioneer Square. Oh, you know okay. where Tats is?
Yeah.
Like right around the corner from Tats.
Okay,
in
nice.
That same building.
Yeah.
You go through those doors. It was on the fifth floor.
Okay.
And then they actually had a store right around the corner. And
yeah.
ironically, right across the street from that, on the corner was Base Northwest. And then where the Trinity Nightclub is, I think it's called.
Yep.
That used to be the Velvet Elvis Arts
okay.
Theater, which
yeah.
was the place where... I mean, that's where we all played
yeah.
back in the day. That was the post-grunge
if you
place
watch,
to hang out.
If you watch The Edge of Coral, the great film, then you'll yep. see Murder City Devils performing in Velvet Elvis.
Yep.
That's historical documentation right there.
Our video for Something Must Break, that was filmed at the Velvet
awesome.
Elvis. Botch used to play there all the
yep.
time. Blood Brothers, like, we used to play there. We would see also, like... It was great. You know who Sunny Day Real Estate rehearsed
yeah.
there.
Wow.
Sometimes when they were doing their like post Hummus first comeback release, whatever that is. What is that? How It Feels to Be Something On.
Mm-hmm.
When they were writing that record, they were rehearsing there at least a bit.
Yeah.
So, you know, Death Cab, I saw their first, I'm pretty sure it was their first Seattle show was at the Velvet Elvis.
Wow.
And I remember being there. Pate of the Lion used to play there all the time.
That's awesome. Rhodes,
there was this band, Eddie Vedder's first wife, or maybe his second wife, but I don't know how many times he's been married, but one, an ex-wife, I know that now, was in this really amazing band that used to play there often. They were called Hovercraft.
Okay.
And they were instrumental, but
yeah.
they just showed this video behind them.
Really?
It was so good. And there was this, there was this band from Seattle that nobody remembers. I think they opened up like for the Foo Fighters on one of their first tours. And this band disappeared. They had one record on Sub Pop and everything before that was an independent release. The drummer is Joe Plummer, who's played with Modest Mouse. He's
mm-hmm.
played with a bunch of other bands, but they were called Bare Minimum. And
okay.
I swear in that era, that late 90s era, they were the best thing in Seattle.
Wow.
They were so good.
Bare Minimum.
Yeah, there was like... Some of the best bands at that time were definitely like Bare Minimum, Unwound.
Yeah.
Blood Brothers. Loved the Blood Brothers.
Absolutely.
Botch is always, like hands down, Botch is the best complicated mathematical hardcore band that has ever existed, in
yeah.
my opinion. They're just so good.
I'm calling it, man. Everyone's reuniting. Blood Brothers, give it a year. We're going to see it.
We're going to see another Blood Brothers, you think?
Maybe
I
we'll
hope
see.
So.
Maybe
That'll
we'll
be
see.
Fun.
We'll see. So we're going to play another band that you started after 90 Pound Wuss. Here at Suffering and His Thieves, I have Jeff Suffering of that band. His band, 90 Pound Wuss, old school band, is going to be playing Saturday, July 29th at the Tracyton Movie House at Redwood Theater at the Tracyton Movie House in Bremerton with the Fibs and Middle Age Queers. But here's his other band, Suffering and the Hideous Thieves. Ashamed? What was it?
Ashamed.
Ashamed.
Yes.
It's Loud and Local here on KISW.
Shadows calling out.
skeletons I've locked away. My blood runs cold and starts to clog over this hole that was a scab that I keep picking off. Do you wanna see my blue blood run red, honey? And do you wanna see a heart made of stone? Well, turn on.
Football fans, you won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Fee and fees apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app, and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
It's Loud and Local here on 99.9 KISW, The Rock of Seattle. We have Jeff Suffering, who is the vocalist of a band called 90 Pound Wuss, doing their first show in 23 years at the Redwood Theater at the Tracyton Movie House in Bremerton. And that's going to be with the Fibs, Middle Age Queers. You can get your tickets and show up Saturday, July 29th. Again, first show in 23 years. Dude, so... you, along with all the music that you've done and everything, you were also like a vital part of shows and booking concerts and booking, you know, for years over at the Paradox over in the U District, I believe. Was where, is that where you first started, or were you associated with the Vera, or yeah. How did you get involved?
No, so I got involved when I moved to Seattle. I got involved with the Velvet Elvis. I started volunteering at the Velvet Elvis. Cool. And then they would let me do some shows there every once in a while. I'd like ask him, hey, could I do this show or whatever? And so we were doing – I was putting on some shows there, heavily involved. Then, you know, the Paradox is weird in the whole thing. Basically, there was a teen dance ordinance in the city of Seattle through the 90s and into the early 2000s that – through a lot of legislation and essentially stuff that the folks at Vera Project were doing, Shannon and Kate and everybody, they were doing they eventually got the teen dance ordinance repealed. But in the interim, the Velvet Elvis existed because it was an arts theater, nonprofit arts theater. The Rock Candy, when it existed, I think Lori always had to pay a buttload of insurance that was ridiculous when she owned Rock Candy. You know, she didn't like, as far as I know, like that was never a gig that was like very lucrative for her. Mm-hmm. I think it was always her passion and love of music that made her do the Rock Candy for sure. Mm-hmm. And then some of the other ventures that she did, I think she just loves music. I know she loves music. I know her and she loves music.
Yeah.
And she's a great person. Very, very cunning and very, very
got some beautiful dogs too.
Yeah. She's great at doing live music. It's a bummer sometimes that she retired, but at the same time, like I think it's good for her and her soul. So, but the Rock Candy existed for a while, and I think it just was too complicated and too hard with the teen dance ordinance and other things going on, and eventually it sold and now there's a hotel down there. But interim was Velvet Elvis. I was volunteering there. The guys that started Mars Hill Church always talked about wanting to do like an all-ages venue that was just a community service basically. Mm-hmm. So, one of the guys, Leif Moyes, his name, bought the theater in the U District and decided he wanted to do that. They hired a different person who was doing more adult contemporary stuff at the time. And, the problem was is they're doing adult contemporary music and there's no alcohol sales. So you have to have a really particular like sort of crowd that want, like Low ended up being like a good indie rock band to have at the Paradox. And there was a lot of people over 21 that loved Low when we would do those shows, but because of their nature and their, but that's different. That wasn't like hot AC stuff, right? That's like freaking real indie rock. So I convinced them to let me do a few shows because the Velvet Elvis had closed down. There was zero venues for all ages shows in Seattle proper at the time. Mm-hmm. All we did was house shows. Yep. And then we'd go to like the Redmond Firehouse in Redmond and the Kirkland Teen Center and
Bellevue.
Ground Zero at Bellevue. Yeah. Yes. So there was no all ages shows in the city
of
Seattle.
Or down in Tacoma, Club Impact.
Or in Tacoma at Club Impact. Yeah. So we, fortunately, those shows went very well. I think the first one was Tight Bros from way back when.
Great band.
Yeah, they were awesome. And, the Golden Ticket played, and I don't remember. I don't think it was a Blood Brothers show. I think Tight Bros were the headliner, but it might have been a Blood Brothers show. Actually, it probably was. It was probably all three of those bands. Anyways, it went really well, and then I started doing more shows, and eventually I was doing this all just because of my love of music in the scene here, and so I would be putting up flyers. Back then there wasn't a platform like a Facebook or whatever.
Sure, yeah.
So you could have your website that would advertise shows on it or whatever, but there wasn't as easily of a means to get people to
I just
your
heard
website.
About it through nwhardcore.com.
Yeah, exactly. See, so you had to be connected to something and hear about it through the internet, or I was posting flyers around town of bands, and I was promoting the shows, putting them on, and I was in my own bands,
mm-hmm.
and late, you know, I was in a relationship. I got married during that time. Like, lots going on. Eventually, I said, hey, if you want me to keep doing this, I'm now doing this all the time.
Yep.
And I worked full-time, too. I'd go to work at, like, I worked at a printing press, the one up on, I don't know if it's still there, but up on Capitol Hill, mm-hmm. right across from the police station that was
okay.
all
yep.
Abandoned last year.
Yep.
That one, or a couple years ago now, it's called Richmark Label Corporation. So okay. I'd show up and I was the guy washing the printing presses
yeah.
every day as soon as they would roll through and all the job was done. I'd go and I'd take the wheels off, wash them, like all that stuff. So I was doing that at like 6 a.m., you know,
yep.
like 6 to 3 or whatever or 2.
Yep.
And then I'd go promote shows. Then I'd have band practice. Yep. Then I'd go home. So really busy time in my life and highly motivated. Yeah. I was back then, had lots of adrenaline. So, but eventually I said, you guys have to hire me. I need to be doing this full time. I just got married. I can't do this 2 jobs. And if you want these shows to keep happening, you need to pay me. So they did.
That's awesome.
And they hired me. And then I just did it for the next few years until they decided that they were going to shut that program down and sell the building or do whatever they did. And they were buying that new building in Ballard and wanted to change the paradox.
Sure.
And here's the thing is I didn't really do shows at that
the
venue
new one.
That
yeah,
was
yeah,
at
yeah.
their
the
actual church yeah, location. Yeah. So it was more like the venue in the U District was the paradox
yep.
and they had a church that met there on Sundays.
Yeah.
And it wasn't Driscoll preaching there. It was a guy named Leif Moy. Anyways, different time. But what had happened was at the same time, at the end of the paradox, that teen dance ordinance got repealed and Vera had started. And so Vera just basically came. We even did a benefit early on at the paradox for the Vera Project
yeah.
to raise them some money. And hopefully it helped early on. But we were totally like stoked that – they did it, and it was a great time to end.
Absolutely.
It was a great time to end. There was a better, like, newer venue mm-hmm. that didn't have ties to a church
Absolutely.
And, like, other things like that. So that was great, and I'm glad that they're still going and doing
Killing
awesome
it.
And have
yeah.
a way better place. I'm going to so many shows there this next couple
That's
months.
Awesome. Yeah, it's great, so. Man. Shout out to Jason Clackley, one of the guys in charge there, man. He's
yeah.
he's really killing it. So, comes down to the question, and I prepared you. You are very rich history of the Northwest music.
Mm-hmm.
You grew up in this area, grew up on this area's radio. You grew up in these areas show. Favorite Northwest band or bands of all time?
Of all time. It depends how far Northwest are we going. Can we go to Vancouver?
Let's say Washington.
Okay.
Washington band.
Then we got Botch.
Okay.
We got Blood Brothers.
Yeah.
The Sonics.
Nice. Old school. I like it, man. Awesome. Man, so you're currently doing a project called Dry Bones, DryBnz.
Yep.
And you just put out a record. I got it in my hand. What do you want to tell me about Dry Bones, man?
So Dry Bones was something that I started with my friend Joe.
Okay.
He's in Portland, Oregon. Joe Mendonca. And he started just sending me these tracks, and I was going up to my friend Jared's house up in Mukilteo,
mm-hmm.
and Jared would record me messing around and trying to figure out these tracks, like trying to like, you know, we were just, there's a lot of interesting stuff that Joe had done, and I'd never worked this way before. So, we basically set rules for ourselves that what he'd send me, that's what I was going to do.
Nice.
And what I would do would be in the moment that we were doing it. And
yeah.
that was the thing. So it's very raw. It's very kind of by the seat of your pants. I really enjoyed making it so much that, you know, when we were done and did it, eventually we pressed this record and put it out ourselves. And
that's awesome.
You can listen to it on streaming services, any of the streaming services, but we have, instead of a full LP, we have each song as a single and a B-side
yeah,
on
cool.
there. So we're trying to mess around and do some things a little bit differently so that when people, you know, if they like it, they can buy the LP and then listen to it the way that we intended. But yeah, it's basically kind of a noise art rock, a little goth, little industrial, little punk. Like it kind of blends all the things I love into one strange and interesting cacophony of sound.
Ah, I like that.
So, yeah.
Well, let's play a song. What do you want to go into?
Let's play. Geez, how about. Oh, what's a good Dry Bones song? How about let's play Lair of Wild Beasts.
I like it.
Lair of Wild Beasts by Dry Bones. And again, Jeff Suffering's band is going to be playing 90 Pound Wuss, man. Going back to the old school, dude. Going back to your teenage years.
Yep.
Reliving the past, but it's going to be fun, I think. Saturday, July 29th, 90 Pound Wuss. First show in 23 years with the Fibs. Middle-aged queers. They're getting ready for, what's the festival called?
Furnace Fest.
That's right.
In Birmingham, Alabama.
Yep. So this is their kind of their warm-up for that. And we'll see if there's more to come, you know? You never know, right?
It's possible.
90 Pound Wuss, new album? Huh?
Is that we haven't written the possibilities off. We'll just have to see how it goes after the festival.
Right. Awesome. Dude, thank you so much for taking the time, man.
Thank you, Kevin.
Absolutely.
Football fans, you won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.